how countries compete, strategy, structure, and government in the global economy. Author Richard Hay-K-Vital. Business and political leaders often talk about what their respective countries must do to compete in the world economy. But what does it really mean for a country to compete, and how do they be successful? Competition means that the countries contend for the market share in the world economy, contesting foreign investment and export sales through their businesses. Countries develop strategies to compete for markets, technologies, skills, and investment that will raise their standards of living. Development strategy and structure. Every country has a strategy for economic development. Of course, strategy alone is not enough. Countries must have an organisational structure that can effectively implement their strategy. The strategy and structure must fit each country's context, the national and international conditions in which the country operates. Strategy. National goals may consist of loose generalities such as economic growth or political stability. On the other hand, goals can be identified more precisely. To implement such goals, governments need to adopt certain policies. Number 1. The monetary policy. Each country's central bank allows the supply of money to grow at a certain rate. The purposes of monetary policy are to create enough money to finance healthy economic growth without inflation, and to sustain adequate reserves for foreign exchange. 2. Trade policy. The use of tariffs, quotas, and various restrictive agreements is perhaps the most common. Until recently, most countries employed a variety of taxes on imports. 3. Foreign direct investment. FDIs are restrictions that are designed to protect domestic firms from foreign ownership or from foreign competition. Many countries eagerly encourage FDI by offering tax remissions and creating industrial parks or business clusters. 4. Privatisation. It's a policy developed by countries wishing to affect the ownership of firms. Often, when wholesale privatisation remains politically unpalatable, governments privatise parts of firms and retain a majority or minority of interest for themselves. 5. Economic regulation. It is usually implemented to correct some perceived economic flaw, which is a major impact on development. Economic regulation has been applied to a host of virtual industries. Structure. Strategy is useless without an organisational structure capable of implementing it. There are a variety of elements to structure that would differ sharply from country to another. Political structure and economic structures are vital to the conduct of business. 1. Economic structure. It applies to the relative weights of consumption, investment, government, and trade. At a macro level, structure varies sharply in terms of private versus public ownership, concentrated versus fragmentated incomes, and manufacturing versus agricultural versus services. Institutional structure. It is absolutely vital to economic development. The structure of its banking system, court system, police, military, and the rule of law are all critical. Also, there are many other institutional arrangements that must work effectively that include labour management arrangements, saving systems, the nature of bureaucracies, and the separation of power between legislative and executive branches, and differential powers of federal governments and states. Developing resources. To grow, every country must make choices about the use of scarce resources. If economic growth is due to occur, the resources are not only must be increased, but also must be used to develop efficiently. There are 5 resources that need to be developed. 1. Development of human resources. When it comes to development of human resources, both the quantity and quality are important. Quality, however, has usually been more of a demanding challenge. Education is the most important component of labour quality. Countries with good educational systems have generally benefited from higher economic growth. 2. Technological resources. These are similarly vital. Educational institutions are an important source of technology, but also have corporate research laboratories. Some countries have basically developed their own technology through strong institutions, including their patent offices. Other countries choose the strategy of buying technology and then improving it. 3. Capital. Even with these various resources, no countries have successfully accelerated their economic growth without capital. There are 4 pathways for accumulating capital. A. First pathway, debt from domestic banks. If equity markets are weak or non-existent, and if capital controls prevent foreign investment, then savings flow to domestic banks, even at low interest rates. It's possible for a government to channel savings to banks and then bank loans to the firms and industries targeted for success. B. Second pathway, domestic equity. The US has long maintained well-developed equity markets with widespread access through investment banks, discount brokerages, and recently, direct purchasing online. Combined with a healthy venture capital market, raising funds through equity has been far easier than in any other country. C. Third pathway, foreign direct investment. Most FDI comes from and goes to developed countries. Since the early 1980s, however, FDI has increasingly flowed from developed to developing countries, especially as those developing countries opened domestic ownership to foreigners and privatised. D. Fourth pathway, intentional foreign debt financing. In many developed countries where living standards are low and capital scarce, public and private debt has been sold to foreigners. The crucial role of government. There are 9 main policy generalisations that are safe to pose. 1. Property rights. If a country cannot guarantee private property, its protection and the right to exchange it, development of a working market economy will at best be slow. Markets work and contribute to growth only when a secure legal framework, which the state provides. 2. Savings and investments. Countries that save more and invest more grow. Having some sort of policy, institution incentives, or cultural bias that encourages savings is the key. 3. Central banks. Strong central banks are necessary for non-inflationary growth. They need to provide adequate liquidity for both, but not excessive liquidity, for prices will rise. 4. Microeconomic policies. Linearization means the removal of barriers to trade and foreign investment. An exchange rate policy that follows the market and eventually privatization of the potentially competitive assets is sometimes as necessary to facilitate growth. For sure, restrictions work for a time, but in every case, microeconomic restrictions cause growing distortions and needed to give way. 5. Labour market flexibility. Elaborate work rules and labour market rigidities that hamper productivity prevent firms from structurally adjusting and drive up unit labour costs. 6. Resource endowments. Revenue from resources fuels unwise government spending and invariably contributes to corruption. As government spending fuels inflation and prices rise, the country's non-resource exports become less competitive. Managing such wealth effectively requires a sound set of institutional controls to keep the rents from distorting all other elements of the economy. 7. Corruption. Most countries with high levels of corruption are slow to develop. Countries with relatively lower levels of corruption develop more. One could conclude that development leads to less corruption, but I think the relationship is at least reciprocal. Less corruption leads to development. 8. Income equality. Inequitable income distribution holds back economic progress and weakens social structure. Lousy income distribution not only causes social frictions, but also undermines the potential for growth. Number 9. Current account balances. Finally, it's worth re-emphasising the huge asymmetry that has unfolded the global economy's current account balances. Almost all regions have current account surpluses. The United States has nearly 4/5 of the deficits. The problem has short-term and long-term implications. In the short term, it means the United States hosts most of the world's consumption of traded goods and services. Any slowdown in the US economy will add adversely leverage exporting countries. Conversely, to continue its growth, the US must borrow massively from the rest of the world's savers, selling its assets and incurring more and more debt in the long run. In all of these 9 areas of policy and performance, we see the role of governmental institutions as crucial. When government agencies encourage savings, contain inflation, or reinvest resource rents, then government institutions are working. When pensions are funded, healthcare effectively managed, and poor people educated, government is creating the institutions necessary to engender sustainable economic growth.